I'm Anderson Cooper. Welcome to the podcast. The searing emotions and pivotal legal questions in the George Zimmerman case. Also, the ridiculous. Let's get started. We begin with the powerful testimony today at the George Zimmerman trial. So powerful that some, including Trayvon Martin's parents, could not bear to hear it. It's centered on what happened in the seconds and minutes after defendant George Zimmerman shot Trayvon Martin as Martin lay dying. It was by no means the only big moment today. There were others, including a legal battle over what the prosecution considers a linchpin of its case. But the testimony from the police sergeant who tried to revive or at least stabilize the wounded Martin packed a serious punch. Martin Savage joins us now live. Martin?
Yeah, Anderson, this was an extremely difficult day. You know, this was a day that took the jury, took the entire courtroom back to that fateful night, and that would be February 26th of 2012. And this was the first time in a number of ways we heard this story. Remember, you know, the jury is hearing this essentially for the first time. And they've seen George Zimmerman. They know he's the defendant. They've heard the name Trayvon Martin. But today they saw the body of Trayvon Martin. That had tremendous impact in the courtroom. You saw a teenager laying on the ground. And, of course, you knew the fact that he was dead. George Zimmerman admits to shooting him. It's whether it was self-defense or murder, as the prosecution is trying to portray. So the imagery was strong, but even stronger, it was the first responder who showed up on the scene moments after the shooting and is trying to revive this young teenager with the help of another officer. Here is some of what went on in court today.
Day two of George Zimmerman's murder trial took the courtroom back to that tragic night, February 26, 2012. For the first time, jurors saw the body of the teenager Zimmerman killed, Trayvon Martin. And listen to graphic testimony from one of the first police officers on scene, who with another officer tried to revive the teen.
After you rolled his body over onto his back, did you again try to get a pulse?
Yes, sir, I did.
And were you able to get a pulse?
No, sir, I was not.
What was your role in that, the CPR attempts on Trayvon Martin?
I was doing breaths, sir.
In the courtroom, just a few feet away, Martin's mother sat stoically listening to the last moments of her son's life.
And did rescue take over the CPR efforts after they arrived?
Yes, sir.
What did you see the rescue personnel do to treat or assess Trayvon Martin?
I watched them hook up the leads of the EKG machine to Mr. Martin, sir.
All right. And was Trayvon Martin pronounced dead by rescue at the scene?
Yes, sir.
Also taking the stand, a crime scene technician who took pictures and gathered evidence around Martin's body and examined the gun Zimmerman used to shoot the teenager. She also photographed Zimmerman's injuries, which the defense says were a result of a vicious attack from Martin.
You see that sort of lump on the top right of his head?
Yes, I can.
Yeah, and you saw it that night too, right?
Yes, I did.
Do you see that lump on the top of his head?
Yes, I do.
The top right side, and you saw it that night as well.
That is correct.
Also shown in the courtroom was the hoodie sweatshirt Martin was wearing when he died. To many, it's become a symbol of racial profiling that has elevated this case to a national debate. Earlier in the day, with the jury out of the courtroom, the defense and prosecution fought over phone calls, specifically calls Zimmerman made to police prior to that fatal night. Police records show Zimmerman made dozens of calls over the years reporting things he found suspicious. The state wants to introduce six from the 6 months prior to Martin's death in an effort to portray Zimmerman as increasingly frustrated at seeing people he perceived as suspicious eluding police. The state contends Zimmerman followed 17-year-old Trayvon Martin to make sure he wouldn't get away. The last witness on the stand said she saw two people standing upright and fighting that night, potentially more damaging to the defense. She said she heard a sound like running from left to right, possibly implying a chase. It was a detail she hadn't previously mentioned, according to police transcripts.